Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program, very much from Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Friday, August 28, 2020. 5 people are killed and 6 others wounded during tribal conflict in eastern Sudan.
They broke into shops, burned down the market, and they also looted property.
And an unknown number of families displaced by floods seeking refuge in Bor town.
We are here now at the office of the governor, and we are facing a lot of challenges when we arrived here. Rains have fallen on us, lack of food and sicknesses.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Five people were killed and 6 others injured Thursday during clashes in Kassala town. Eyewitnesses say fighting erupted between opponents and supporters of the new governor of eastern Sudan, leading to chaos in Kassala town. For VOA News, Michael Atid reports from Khartoum.
Eyewitnesses say supporters of Governor Ammar shot and killed at least 4 people in Kassala market yesterday. They say one of the 6 injured people succumbed to his injuries at the nearby hospital today. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus by phone from Kassala town, Ibrahim Hassan, an assistant lecturer at Kassala University, says the governor Ammar's supporters violently attack his opponents. Hassan says some people took advantage of the violence by looting shops.
They broke into shops, burned down the market, and they also looted property. They moved to a Republic Square in the town, and they departed to their homes. In the evening, a group of Beni Amir retaliated, and they randomly broke into shops in the market and in neighborhoods and looted a lot of property.
The Beni Amir are one of the several communities residing in Kassala. Hassan says heavy security was deployed at the eastern of Algash riverside of the town. He says most residents are staying inside their homes.
As I speak, no one is allowed to go out. Everybody is indoors or within their neighborhoods. Life is totally paralyzed here in Kassala. All other shops are closed. No one is allowed to cross Algash Bridge to the west, and everybody is living in fear.
Kassala resident Abdallah Obshar, one of the organizers of the opposition protest, says a group of armed supporters of Governor Ammar attacked the peaceful demonstrators. Obshar says the protesters want the Governor Ammar replaced, saying he is not qualified to lead the area at this crucial time. He called on Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok to replace Ammar with a qualified candidate from Kassala.
If we look at the qualifications criteria on his appointment process, there were more than 10 candidates. Some of them are PhD holders and professors from universities. We are wondering how Ammar made it to this level and defeat those who are much qualified from him.
Kassala resident Jalaluddin Rabeh condemned the violence, saying people should be focused on development rather than politics.
For nearly 40 years, this state has not witnessed any development, and we need someone who will come and initiate development projects. If it is Ammar or any other person, we just need a leader that would make change to happen. We are not his supporters, nor against him.
Rabeh accused supporters of ousted President Omar al-Bashir of causing yesterday's violence. The transitional government in Khartoum has called for calm in Kassala and instructed security organizations to restore peace in the area. Intercommunal fighting has continued for months in Kassala and other parts of the eastern Sudan among the Beni Amir, Nuba and Hadandawa communities. Some observers believe ever since the Bashir administration has been uprooted in Khartoum, former officials and their supporters are fueling tribal conflicts around the states. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Unknown number of people displaced by floods in Duke and Twitch East counties of Jonglei State are seeking refuge in Bor. where many people are living in water. The Jonglei Relief and Rehabilitation Commission official says displaced families are camping at government institutions, including the office of the governor. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Juba.
42-year-old Awol Kwal Awol says he and his children arrived in Bo Town 6 days ago from Mar in Teach East County after flooding destroyed his home. Awol says his family has been camping outside the governor's office since that time and need food.
We are here now at the office of the governor and we are facing a lot of challenges when we arrived here. Rains have fallen on us, lack of food and sicknesses. The kids with us here are very sick. We are just waiting for an assistance from the government and the NGOs, but up to today, there is nothing given to us.
Awol says he worries he or his children will catch a waterborne disease like pneumonia or diarrhea due to the lack of clean drinking water and poor hygiene in the overcrowded environment. He says his 3-year-old son is suffering from diarrhea. 29-year-old Agon Deng Lual arrived 4 days ago by motorboat from Duke County and has been camping at Malek Secondary School. Lual says she and her 4 children have nothing to eat because their food was washed away in the flooding.
Food like sorghum did not even take more than 2 days. They germinated and are damaged. The situation for me and my children now is difficult. I am accommodated here at Malek Secondary School by my relatives who arrived here before me. They are the ones helping me push with the last few days. I have no idea what will happen next.
Jonglei State Relief and Rehabilitation Commission Director Gabriel Denga Jack says flooding has displaced more than 160,000 people from Duke, Twitch East and Bor counties. Ajak says the displaced who came to Bor Town are in dire need of food, clean water, medicine and shelter materials.
The situation in Bor now is quite overwhelming in terms of how we receive them as RRC and the Human Trend Partners. People are moving, they don't know where they are going. You go to the riverside now, in here in Bor, you find thousands of people just sleeping outside. And if it rains, then these people will be exposed to rain, and definitely diseases will come in and will affect them.
Michael Madinga Kweth, who heads the South Sudan Red Cross in Jonglei, says his organization is working with the ICRC to support the thousands of flood-affected families in Bor with plastic sheets, mosquito nets, and sleeping mats. He says the Red Cross will distribute relief aid to about 5,000 families starting next week.
These are essential household items. That's what we are going to give out. They are basic. They will give them a better opportunity to support themselves now, and especially in the areas that they are camping. Those who are camping, maybe in schools, they will have now the mosquito nets, and they will be able to support themselves.
In an email response, Anthony Burke, Public Information Officer for the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or UN OCHA, in South Sudan, said at least 500,000 people have been affected by flooding along the White Nile in South Sudan since July. Burke says aid agencies have conducted needs assessments in 5 counties in Jonglei, including Bor South County, in early August, and have been providing assistance to some 35,000 flood-affected people in the county. For VOA News, I am Deng Gai Deng in Bor.
Authorities in Western Equatoria State say nearly 1,400 families have been affected by floods in Iba County. The Deputy Director of Relief and Rehabilitation Commission in Iba says majority of the families affected need shelter, food and sanitation. Some residents of Iba say they have never experienced floods for many years. For VOA News, Siba Martin Murangi reports from Yambio.
Iba County resident Priscilla Gage Zakaya says early last week after a heavy downpour, she and her children went to sleep. She says a few hours later, her children woke up to find the house submerged in water. At around 10 p.m., my children began to cry out that Mama, water is swallowing us. All the utensils in the room were also making noise. When I suddenly lit the candle, there was boiling water like coming from the ground, right in the middle of my room. I rushed out with my children and watched our tukul collapse. Zakaya says she and her children have no shelter. They are asking aid agencies to come to the family's rescue. In Jonglei State's Bor County and other areas where residents experience widespread flooding from rivers that have crested after heavy rains, this flooding is caused by underground water. The United Kingdom's Groundwater Forum defines groundwater flooding as the emerge of groundwater at the ground surface. Groundwater flooding occurs as a result of water rising up underlying rocks or from water flowing from abnormal springs and usually occurs after longer periods of sustained high rainfall, according to the forum. Paulino John is the Deputy Director for Relief and Rehabilitation Commission in Iba County.
As I am talking, I am badly affected by diarrhea, as all toilets are full, and yet we are still using it. Drinking water has become a big problem.
Aid worker Justin Wodwapai with the Yambio-based Blending Community Service Organization and other aid workers visited Iba County this week to provide assistance to flood victims. He says what they distributed was not nearly enough.
Only about 100 women benefited from plastic seats, and few people got shop and dignity kits for girls. The major concern for the community is food, because most people have been displaced and have gone miles away from their gardens, so survival has become hard.
Iba County residents say the last time they experienced groundwater flooding was 1958. For VOA News, I'm Seba Martin Mrangi in Yambio.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Kenyans discuss how they can benefit from their constitution. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
can you share an inspirational quote and where you heard it from?
Heavy rains are a reminder of challenges in life. Never ask for a lighter rain. Just pray for better umbrella. I just came across it while I was reading something on social media.
This quote I just added from a church. The father was like, "For those who seek, always find. And so fight endlessly for what you want for the future."
Friends are like buttons on the lift. They either bring you down or take you up. I heard it while I was in secondary school and it stuck since then.
وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah will have solution to whatever problems. It is from the Holy Quran.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linar Mudu. The World Health Organization and the Africa Centers for Disease Control say there are no drugs approved to fight COVID-19. If you have tested positive, talk to a doctor before taking any medicines. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. 10 years ago, Kenya adopted a new constitution. Now there are mixed reactions from citizens, as some leaders are asking for amendment to some sections of the document. Some argued the current constitution has not benefited Kenyans and that it is full of flaws. Maureen Ojambo reports for VOA from Nairobi.
Plans to change the new constitution have gained momentum fueled by the Building Bridges Initiative, a project of President Uhuru Kenyatta and his handshake partner Raila Odinga, in what has been blamed on the fallout of Deputy President William Ruto, who no longer attends key government functions with the president. Deputy President William Ruto and his close allies see the plans to change the constitution as a plot to lock him out of the presidential contest in 2022 when President Kenyatta completes his second and final term in office. Speaking in Nairobi, President Uhuru Kenyatta said that the current constitution has been upheld globally. However, it requires changes and that the changes should happen as soon as possible.
The constitution was a work in progress, and as such, we were made to adopt it with a promise that in the future, we will make it better. 10 years later, the moment to improve on it, I believe, is now. We must not, as a people, succumb to the paralysis of constitutional rigidity. We must treat a constitution as a living being, as a living document that must constantly adjust to our emerging realities.
On the other hand, the opposition leader Raila Odinga said that the amendments for the constitution should be implemented to accommodate other needs. Raila says it's time to relook at the document to review what is not working for Kenyans.
That's why you're saying that a constitution is a living document. It is not something that is static. You review it each time to see if there is a need for changes. We have lived with this constitution for 10 years, so it was time for us to relook at it and see which one is working, which one is not working. This was an experiment, and now it is the time to review even those amendments which were introduced at Naivasha.
Kenyans, however, have got mixed reactions about the new constitution. A Kenyan, Mason Owino, said that there are some loopholes that should be looked into, as most Kenyans' expectations have not been achieved.
We expected a lot when the constitution was promulgated in 2010. There are a lot of gains that we've had. There are a lot of sections that we've also failed to implement. I can say, in terms of gains, the constitution has brought a lot of changes. We've seen resources being devolved to county governments, which of course is a plus to the economy of the country. However, there are a lot of issues that are yet to be implemented.
As Kenyans mark 10 years of new constitution, a recent survey released by Amnesty International Kenya says that 60% of Kenyans want the current constitution implemented instead of amending it. Reporting for VOA, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Nairobi, Kenya.
Malawi has one of the highest rates of early marriages and teenage pregnancy in the world, with about half of girls marrying before the age of 18. That's according to government records. Aid groups say the coronavirus pandemic closing of schools have worsened the trend, which they are trying to reverse. Malawian authorities are also engaging health facilities to distribute contraceptives as protection from unintended pregnancies. Lameck Masina reports from Falome district in southern Malawi.
A 17-year-old girl from the Palombe district, who we will call Rhoda, says she became hopeless when the government closed the schools in March as a measure against the spread of COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus. Like many other girls in poor rural areas where schools provide only a favorite pastime, Rhoda struggled to find ways to make money. She says we instead resorted to go about places doing peace jobs to earn money. But when the peace jobs became scarce, I had no other option but to start a relationship with a man. A resulting pregnancy led to another challenge after her parents kicked the primary school student out of their home. Rhoda says the problem she faces is lack of food and clothes. She says the man who impregnated her sometimes brings her some food, but it is not enough. Rhoda is among thousands of Malawian girls negatively impacted by the closure of schools due to the coronavirus pandemic. The problem of teenage pregnancies is not new in Malawi. Government records show about half of girls marrying before the age of 18. a teenager mother, we will call Joyce, says poverty is to blame for her predicament. Joyce says many men promise to buy us things like smartphones, shoes, and clothes. This is what lured me into having sex with a man, but he never gave me any of these. In a bid to reverse the trend, the Center for Alternatives for Victimized Women and Children is encouraging youths to access sexual reproductive health or SRHS services, which include the use of condoms. Linda Almoso is a program officer with the center.
We're conducting awareness to this youth as well as their parents because we managed to establish some youth clubs so that these youth should be meeting in their free time and discuss importance of accessing these SRHR services.
The organization says it is also empowering women's groups to help children leave their marriages. One is Mother's Group. Matilda Matia is the leader. Matia says there are some girls who were married like Rhoda, but we have managed to withdraw them from marriage, and now they are back in their homes. Because once the child is married, she rarely has a chance to proceed with education after delivery. So we discuss with parents ways to look after the pregnant girl until she returns to school. While the date for reopening schools remain uncertain, authorities are also urging health facilities to offer free contraceptive services to help protect girls from unintended pregnancies. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Palombe, Southern Malawi.
Still in Southern Africa, the ancient art of traditional African storytelling has found unlikely ally during the COVID-19 pandemic. Because of lockdowns, the Play Africa Children Museum in South Africa has put its African storytelling project online, broadening the audience to children around the world. Maurice de Klerk has the story from Johannesburg.
She knocked.
Professional storyteller Tembile Tsuma has taken traditional African storytelling onto cyberspace. He was supposed to entertain youngsters on location at the Play Africa Children's Museum in Johannesburg, but the pandemic lockdown changed all that. Now Tsuma is performing online through a camera and computer screen. His global exposure has been growing, Tsuma explains via Zoom.
Now I am more than like 3,000 people following me on my page, of which is actually the same thing that's also happening to other storytellers and to the Play Africa page.
Hello, my friends.
Hello.
Hello.
Internet savvy mum Pamela Seluwani from Soweto explains on a Zoom call why she initiated viewing sessions in a local bookshop.
Some kids don't have the opportunity to actually watch even on their phones. They don't have access. So I'm like, why can't I let other kids watch with me? It was from an excitement of discovering this, and I just wanted to make it go viral.
It was a steep learning curve for the storytellers, the Children's Museum and its partner organization, ASIDESH SA, the South African branch of the International Association of Theatre for Children and Young People, to master the technology and adapt techniques and props to bring interactive African storytelling to Facebook Live. However, their efforts have transmitted African story magic far beyond South Africa, despite the COVID-19 lockdown, says Anne Simmons of the Play Africa Children's Museum via Zoom.
That ancient art form is now putting a human and a human together again via some zippy technology. We started seeing people from Kenya and elsewhere in Africa connecting. We often see in Europe, in the UK, families logging on. We've had families from Australia.
Despite clear benefits, online African storytelling must be dealt with carefully going forward, says applied theatre practitioner and analyst Lalu Mokuku through Zoom.
It may also exclude many people that may not have access to digital space. That's why I said there needs to be care. At the same time, it's also quite important for our stories to be told widely.
Bly Africa Children's Museum and Asitesh SA are working on developing complementary educational content and considering ways for wider use of the stories. Marise de Klerk for VOA News, Johannesburg.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's our show for this Friday. We now take you to DRC for some latest heat by Awilo Longomba.
Il était comment? Mobali ayaya. Bien coiffé. Bien rasé. Bien parfumé. La bagriffe à somme. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah.
Nom de Dieu.
Docteur Jeff Jadil.
Have been listening to Awilo Longomba with his song Chapua. I'm John Tanz in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.